Part 1 of The Judas Valley. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Phil Chenevert. The Judas Valley by Robert Silverberg and Randall Garrett. Part 1. Why did everybody step off the ship in this strange valley and promptly drop dead? How could a well-equipped corps of tough spacemen become a field of rotting skeletons in this quiet world of peace and contentment? It was a mystery Peter and Sherry had to solve, if they could live long enough. Peter Wayne took the letter out of the machine, broke the seal, and examined it curiously. It was an official communication from the Interstellar Exploration Service. It read, "From Lieutenant General Martin Scarlsborough, IES, to Captain Peter Wayne, Preliminary Survey Corps. Report immediately to this office for assignment to IES Lord Nelson. Full briefing will be held at 2200 hours, 14 April 2103. By order of the Fleet Commandant." It was short, brief, and to the point, and it gave no information whatsoever. Peter Wayne shrugged resignedly, put the letter down on his bed, walked over to the phone, and dialed a number. A moment later, a girl's face appeared, blonde-haired with high cheekbones, deep blue-green eyes, and an expression of the lips that intriguingly combined desirability and crisp military bearing. "Lieutenant James speaking," she said formally. Then, as Wayne's image appeared on her screen, she grinned. "Hi, Pete. What's up?" "Listen, Sherry," Wayne said quickly, "I'm going to have to cancel that date we had for tomorrow night. I just got my orders." The girl laughed. "I was just going to call you. I got a fact sheet, too. Looks as though we won't see each other for a while, Pete. Which ship are you getting?" "The Lord Nelson." It was Wayne's turn to laugh. "It looks as though we will be seeing each other. That's my ship, too. We can keep our date in the briefing room." Her face brightened. "Good, I'll see you there, then," she said. "I've got to get my gear packed." "Okay," Wayne said. "Let's be on time. You know how General Scarborough is." She smiled. "Don't worry, Peter. I'll be there. So long for now." "Bye, Sherry." He cut the connection, watched the girl's face melt away into a rainbow-colored diamond of light, and turned away. There were a lot of things to do before he could be ready to leave Earth for an interstellar tour of duty. He wondered briefly as he started to pack just what was going on. There was usually much more notice on any big jump of this order. Something special was up, he thought, as he dragged his duffel bag out of the closet. He was in the briefing room at 2158 on the nose. The Interstellar Exploration Service didn't much go for tardiness, but they didn't pay extra if you got there a half hour early. Captain Peter Wayne made it a point of being at any appointment 2 minutes early, no more, no less. The room was starting to fill up with men and women Wayne knew well, had worked with on other expeditions, had lived with since he'd joined the IES. They looked just as puzzled as he probably did, he saw. They knew they were being called in on something big, and in the IES, big meant big. At precisely 2200, Lieutenant General Scarsborough emerged from the inner office, strode briskly up the aisle of the briefing room, and took his customary stance on the platform in front. His face looked stern, and he held his hands clasped behind his back. His royal blue uniform was neat and trim. Over his head, the second hand of the big clock whirled endlessly. In the silence of the briefing room, it seemed to be ticking much too loudly. The general nodded curtly and said, "Some of you are probably wondering why the order to report here wasn't more specific. There are two reasons for that. In the first place, we have reason to believe that we have found a substantial deposit of double nucleus beryllium." There was a murmur of sound in the briefing room. Wayne felt his heart starting to pound. DN beryllium was big. So big that a whole fleet of IES ships did nothing but search the galaxy for it full-time. "Naturally," the general continued, "we don't want any of this information to leak out just in case it should prove false. The prospect—"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?